This is the Night Owl Disc Golf Podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And I'm going to get some of those little cuppy things that absorb sound to go around our microphones.
Oh,
I've just like it's like a little half moon thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, are they better than this?
Well, we got the pop filter.
Yeah.
And then we have a microphone. And then behind that, there is like a little circle egg crate thing that you can attach to the mic.
That's cool. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Yeah, so like your mic won't pick up my voice. Then your voice won't pick up my mic. Or
I like that idea.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay.
So anyways, random thought. Hope you like that intro. All right. For more very polished, incredibly intuitive, and insightful disc golf content, door_disc_golf, night_owl_pod, or doordisc.com. Or you can even go to our YouTube channel, Door Disc Golf. Only the best.
Only the not OTV.
No, not OTV. Just only the best stuff.
Okay. Oh, content.
Content. There
content.
You go.
Content. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
That's all right.
Good. The bucket one. Oh, that.
What's the bucket?
Oh, no. The video with the water in the discs bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of, that's like pretty cool.
It was. So we're sitting here. I'll tell you the story behind. So we've had like three videos go pretty decent. I mean, like 15,000.
You're just talking about the reels on Instagram.
Just the reels on Instagram. Yeah. Sorry. Let me turn my phone down. So we've had like three or four of them kind of go nuts a little bit.
Yeah.
And nuts for us. I mean, obviously some of these other guys are like, ooh, that's such child's play. But we're like 15, 16,000. And it happens like that. Like we're sitting there one night and I'm trying to still finishing up like the final. So Monday night, Tuesday, we're installing that new POS at the restaurant.
Okay.
And Monday night, we post that one, I think. I think I posted that one. I was sitting on the toilet, and I posted it real quick. I posted that one. And my phone, we're trying to, like, do some things on my phone, and just bing, 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 bing. Like, it was incredible. And my daughter looks over. She's like, what's happening? And I go, I think we're going viral.
That's awesome.
And then Joe posts one yesterday. And we're on the FaceTime or the Zoom call with the lady while we're installing the POS system.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, bing, bing, bing. And she's like, what is going on? And I go, well, we must have hit another good Instagram reel or something. Okay. And she goes, oh, good for you. But
that's funny.
Yeah, but it was really funny. And I didn't know how to turn it off like while we were in the Zoom call. So we just had to keep it going for like an hour.
Oh, man.
Ding, ding, ding. It was incredible. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, I can understand the endorphin hit, you know? Like, everybody's like, oh, that does that, whatever. Like, it's like a drug, you know, when you start. And I can understand that, you know? Yeah. You kind of get addicted to it, and you're like, okay, now you got to seek your next high by hitting some other video. All right. How do you feel about Coach's Kids? Be careful, because don't you coach your kid?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, last year I've been coaching Dempsey in soccer. Mm-hmm. This is the first year that I haven't in, let's say, like 8 years. Like, I've been like assistant coach or head coach. Mm-hmm. And this year, since I was in charge of referees for the summer, I had to kind of like fill in refereeing a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got the glimpse of like a parent, you know, not coaching. Mm-hmm. But I will say that while I am coaching, I understand the skill level that he has compared to other kids. Like, mm-hmm. I know what he's capable of. I can see what other kids are capable of. But treatment-wise, you have to treat everybody the same. You mm-hmm. have to leave that relationship between them being your son or daughter at the door, and you have to treat them like everybody else. Punishments, drills, whatever it is, that's got to be the same. You can't mm-hmm. give any preferential treatment, playing time, whatever. You got to even it out as best you can. So this summer watching soccer, I noticed that this kid, who is the coach's kid, got a lot more playing time and perhaps got favorable positions to play that, like, he kept begging to play them, begging to play him, and he'd always get the positions. Like, he never, you know, was put anywhere else. But yet he maybe, I don't want to say he's lacking, but he definitely doesn't have the mindset of, like, some of the other players to, like, mentally strong or whatever. And, you know, he also was a bit childish and yelled at teammates and things that and never really got disciplined because his dad was coach. So, yeah, I, having coached and now, and having seen it, you know, that's just my feeling. You have to keep everybody the same. There's no preferential treatment. You're part of a team and nobody's better than the team.
Right.
So that's how I feel.
Right. All right. I get it. So the reason I bring that up, and for twofold, so I believe Sandy and I, not 100% official yet, but there's going to be a third grade boys basketball team.
Oh, wow.
And Sandy and I are going to coach it.
Okay.
That's going to be nuts, first of all. And second, I kind of compare Nico to the coach's kid.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because in our Nico tracker, so I'll just get to our Nico tracker. Nico tracker, Gateway stands behind Nico and his actions.
Okay.
And the reason they say it, because family, basically family.
Right. I mean, sure.
You got to stand through people, we're doing the right thing, but family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't carry a lot of Gateway in our shop, but, and I'm one of four, so I can't make this unilateral decision, but I was kind of like, you're going to really stand behind that type of behavior. You're not even going to say, we don't think that was good behavior. Like, we don't think that he should be doing those type of things on the course. Mm-hmm. You're just going to say, we stand behind him. He's family.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, we should kind of just maybe put Gateway on sale and just move on. You know, and they're a hard company to work with anyways, because the prices we get the discs at, they put them on sale for. You know, and they sell them directly through. So, you know, it's hard to really push Gateway.
The only thing that I've really seen move out of there is the Wizards.
Yeah, Wizards are really the only thing.
Yeah, you know? And I haven't seen any of those in the store in a while.
So, yeah, just because it's like I said, it's difficult because they'll do these sales where, like, hey, we'll give you 10 discs for this price. And I'm like, that's the same price wholesale is. You know?
Oh, jeez.
Like, so how can we compete with that, you know? Yeah. So, but off of that topic, the thing I kind of think about Nico is like, he's like that coach's kid. He's that kid that's, you know, always been told he's great, always been told he doesn't do anything wrong, always been told everybody else is wrong, you know, like that type of thing. And there's good coaches' kids and there are bad coaches' kids. You know, there's the coaches' kids like you where, you know, you got to earn your spot. And if anything, I'm going to be a little bit harder on you than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You really got to earn that spot. And then there's the coaches' kids like Nico.
Right.
You just kind of put them in.
Yeah.
You know, because you're tired of hearing them talk or whatever it may be. So I kind of compared Nico's streak to the coach's kid.
Sure, sure.
You know, and that's what Gateway, I think, is doubling down on it by saying, nah, we're good. We got his back. Really? Yeah. Nothing? You know, how's a person supposed to learn? How's a person supposed to get better? How's a person if they don't have consequences to their actions?
It's not surprising that they went that route, but you still would think, okay, we don't condone this, like, say something, you know.
Right.
You know, just say you don't condone the actions. Mm-hmm, like, we get it. Like you said, you know, it's not surprising because it's family.
Right. Yeah. Well, and taking a step back, who knows what's happening behind the scenes?
Oh, that's true.
Who knows exactly what's been said, how things have gone on, what type of interactions there's been between Gateway and Nico?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know any of the disciplinary stuff. I'm sure they're not going to put that out there. But,
Maybe it's a situation, too, where they're like, well, he's off tour. We don't have to worry about catching any flack about that because he's off tour. And that's kind of, he's disciplining himself, so we don't have to discipline him.
Right.
I don't know. It could be something like that.
It sure does look like there's not much effect. You know, I mean, his public eye, that social media eye that's out there, sure doesn't seem like he's really taking it serious. I mean, he's back out playing again. He's doing all these type of things. He's not showing any way that he's getting better through a social media post. So we'll see. Like I said, I didn't think he was going to do anything about it. I thought it was just a lot of empty words. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't truly sorry. He was regretful. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what shows it. So with that being said, do you have anything else to add to that?
Coach, I don't know. No.
All right.
Yeah. Like, I guess with the coaches, kids things, like, you know, always, if you've ever coached any sport and your kid's not even playing it, or they are, just kind of remember that, you know, just keep in mind that, like, they might, your kid might take it hard, but that's not indicative of how much you love them or how much you just want to see them succeed and push them to be the best that they can be. And yes, maybe sometimes you do come down a little harder on them because, you know, you have expectations. You probably know better of what they're capable of than what they know. But yeah, it's tough love.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, that's just what it, that's
kind of. And some of my best coaches treated me the same way, you know? So yeah. So, all right, we're off, Nico. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
So there's your Nico Tracker update and my random question. So, would you buy thrower, hanger, or flipper?
Well, okay, I got my European discs in. So I got the three Glow P2s, and then I got the two Vapor Essences. I haven't thrown them yet, but I heard the Vapor Essences are more stable than the Meta and the Neo.
Okay. Okay.
So those will be kind of fun to play with. But stopped in the shop the other day and bought a Shadowfax just to try it out. I'm curious about the plastic and how it flies. And I thought it was closer to like an Escape, like a 9511, but I think it's a 95-1-2.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little harder fade. And then I bought a Sparkle Glow Buzz. I think it was a Ledgestone drop. I'm a sucker for buzzes.
We got plenty of buzzes.
Oh, yeah.
So plenty of them. And we got the new Discraft drop.
Oh, yeah. I saw there was some more Star Wars discs.
Yeah, a couple more Star Wars. There was a Mando and a Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what they were on. We got a couple Ghost Stamp tour series.
Oh, I saw those.
I think there was a Force and a Buzz.
Okay.
Force, I thought Force might have went out right away.
Oh, nice.
And then there was also a Nuke.
That's so what I thought I saw, three. A Nuke, yeah.
Okay. And then got a couple, obviously, Lunas. Got a Comet in, a Big Z Comet.
Okay.
I'm going to let it sit for a little bit before I buy it. But I'm going to let it sit because that's the one disc that it has a dog bite in it now. I don't have a Big Z Comet right now.
Yeah.
Not that I need one, but I don't have one. Just saying.
Okay. Well, it's always, you never know.
Yeah, but I'm going to Ledgestone next week, so hopefully we get a comment.
Oh, it is next week already.
It is next week.
Good Lord.
I know. People are already out there practicing, and I'm like a day behind already. You know, it's crazy. So. And
Jordan's playing Silver Cup this weekend?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I thought he had signed up for MP40 because it's the pro weekend this weekend.
Oh, it is this weekend? Okay.
Yeah. And then I signed up for – okay, so I had originally signed up to play AM weekend, and I wasn't able to make it. Everything, but I signed up for play with a pro, and so I got an email. It's like I have a choice. I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. It's like 2:30 in the afternoon. They start, and then they're having a clinic afterwards.
Sure,
but it's like you could play with Nate Perkins, Matt Bell, and like maybe two or three other people. Kale's going to be there, but I don't think he was on as like a person you could play with. But yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I just. It made me think of this weekend, like stuff going on. But
oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, crazy. Ledgestone already.
Yeah. I've been so preoccupied with everything that I haven't really kept in contact with anybody at all. Like, it's just incredible. I've kind of put my head down. You're the only interaction I have socially right now. So, all right. So, I didn't buy a thing.
Okay.
Believe it or not, didn't buy a thing.
Have you tried your shoes?
I did. Shoes are awesome.
Yeah.
Love them.
Oh, speaking of shoes as well, I am so, like, not peeved, but, like, seeing all these pros wear the Idio shoes out on the course, and they got the new, Jomez has the new Idio shoe, like, slow-mo breakdown of, like, form. I'm like, dude, did these pros put their money into this? Like, they're just giving them away, yet here we are still waiting on ours. Yeah. Like,
well, and I know there's a marketing thing and everything, but... We have paid money. Like, come on, man. Where's our shoes?
Yeah.
Like, what's up?
I know.
As soon as I can start throwing them or wearing them, I'll start talking about them.
Yeah.
Good or bad, but I'll start talking about them. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to hold back.
That's the funny thing. It's like they're having trouble getting these shoes into the country, but yet all these pros have these shoes. And I'm like, well, what the heck?
Nate Sexton has had them for like 3 years.
Yeah. Right. And I bought the Nate Sexton.
Oh, you did? The color.
Yeah, whatever. The like Gullman, like blue, whatever his model is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, eh, an extra like $30 or whatever. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but they were supposed to have the logo on them and then it ended up not.
Right, they took it off, I think, is what I had heard. Yep. Like there's going to be the NS like you see on like the Firebirds. Mm-hmm. But I think they took it off.
Yep.
So, anyway, enough.
Yeah.
Ranting, well, that's okay. Inside bars and everything like that.
So I'll give you a quick preview. I'm going to tell you about my night last night. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
Mid-America Open Picks. Well, the D-Glow, we'll trans. We're going to talk about some transgender. We're also going to have a quick conversation about Paul McBeth's statement about caddies. And then listener bag analysis. And then back to a random question. And I think we have two random questions tonight. And I'll do a shop update. So let me tell you about my night last night. So let me paint a picture here for you.
Okay.
Are you ready? So, big hairy guy standing in a shower, taking a shower, okay? Finish the shower, turn the shower off, dry the big hairy body off. Walk out, jump in bed. Nobody's around, nothing, no funny business. Just jump into bed, and I was getting ready to put my underoos on.
Yeah.
Shoulder pops out of socket.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, like, twig and giggleberries flying. Arm out of socket, and I have something called subluxing shoulders, subluxing joints in my shoulders. Pop in, pop out. I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. Probably 3-4 times a year. It was out for an hour and a half.
Whoa.
So I'm dancing around for like 10 minutes. Sandy's like,
one hand trying to get the
no. So I'm glad I've been married to my wife this long. Let's say this.
Oh, my God.
And luckily, I was clean. But I jumped out of the shower, and I'm dancing around, like, walking back and forth, hoping it comes in. And, you know, I'm not even thinking because I'm in so much pain. Like, I'm nude, like, walking back and forth between my bathroom and my bedroom. And my bathroom is en suite, so
yeah.
We're still closing our bedroom.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, my shoulder's out, and I can't do anything about it. Like, everything that I usually do to try to get it to pop back in, nothing's working.
Not like the Murtaugh or whatever where you like, yeah. You know, like the straight jacket.
Yeah, no, not like Lethal Weapon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, that thing. So, no, nothing's working. So, finally, I'm like, oh, great. So, still standing in the nude, still not thinking about it. I reach down, grab my phone, and I call a good Ward Merkel.
Okay.
I call a friend of mine, and he's a first responder paramedic. I'm not sure exactly what he is, but he's a first responder for sure. So I call him, and I'm like, hey, my shoulder's out, and I don't know what to do about it. Usually it pops right back in. And he's like, so what do you want me to do about it? And I'm like, well, do you think you could pop it back in? And he goes, no, we don't do that stuff. We're just going to put you on the ambulance and send you down to get it popped back in.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, okay, so what should I do? And he goes, do you want us to call an ambulance for you? And I go, no, I don't, like, that's like $5,000 right there just to get to the hospital. And I just said, no. And he goes, can you stand the pain to get to the hospital? So sure, I can do that. So Sandy helps me get my underwear and pants on. I throw just like a button up over me, you mm-hmm. know, so I don't know. Jeez, that popped too. I throw a button up over me and we leave. So I tell my kids, it's like 10:30 at night. Tell my kids, like, hey, my shoulder's out.
Is it
like,
your mother-in-law?
My mother.
Yeah.
My mother lives downstairs. Okay. Yeah. And my niece lives across the hall from us. So we got a whole gaggle of people here. So we wake my niece up and just say, hey, just keep an eye out for the kids. Mm-hmm. Keep an ear out for the kids. And it's summer. I mean, they don't have anything to do tomorrow or today would have been, but the next morning. So Sandy goes up to the kids and say, hey, going to the emergency room. Your dad dislocated his shoulder. And they're like, what? So Malachi gets a little worried. Gabby's like, you guys want to come down and see it? It's fine. And they're like, no, I think I'm okay. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I just wanted to let you know I'm good. And I'm in super pain, but I'm trying to like, good. So we get outside. I get into the truck and I know every bump from here to Sturgeon Bay now. So it's about a, 25 minute ride, 30 minute ride.
Something like that.
So get all the way there, dislocated the entire time, pull into the emergency room, like off the road into the emergency room parking lot area. She curbs it, bounces it, and my shoulder partially pops back in. And I'm like, this is great.
Oh, boy.
But now it's in like, I was like at a level 7, and now I'm at like a level 95, like pain-wise, like on a 1 to 10 scale. Like, I am just dying now because there's a nerve that runs right under your armpit. And when my shoulder dislocates, it kind of rolls over that nerve.
Oh, man.
So it must have been just like right on that nerve, and I'm just dying. So I get out of the truck, walk up to the waiting area, the desk, and the lady's like, what's wrong? And I go, I dislocated my shoulder. And oh yeah, you did. Can you hold on for a couple minutes?
I'm telling out of the computer work, yeah, like everything. She's like
on the phone and like on the computer, and I'm like, I guess so. So the guy that like kind of does the armed guard that stands at the hospital, like he's just chatting with me. He's like, hey, do you work at Julie's? Like, no, I own it, and blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden, boom, and he goes, oh, like my shoulder pops back in, and his eyes go, oh, and you see like the look, because it like popped and jumped back up. And I was like, I think it just went back in. So then I rolled, like just moved my shoulder, and I was like, it's back in. And the lady goes, okay, I can help you now. And I go, I'm good. It just went back in. And the guy looks at me and he goes, you just saved yourself like $3,000.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
So Sandy was in the bathroom at the time. She comes back out. She goes, all right, are we going in? And I go, nope, it popped back in. And she goes, so we don't need to be here? I go, no, can we go home? She's like, you made me drive down here? So that was my night.
Hmm.
So got home probably about 11:45 last night.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a rough night. I've never had my arm stay out that long.
You should have just been like flailing around, just trying to see like if you could get it back
in that way. It's funny because like I always tell people that like I have a pretty high tolerance for pain, but like when it's out, it's fine. When it's in, it's fine. Like when it pops back in, it's that right in between. Like if it gets caught right between, like where it's kind of popping back in and out. That's the part that's just, it is so painful. And my hand was numb. Like it was so bad. And I was at that point, I was just done trying to move it. So I was just holding it up against my chest like this, you know? Oh, so that was my night.
Hmm.
That was my night. So
that's a good story.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah.
I think the best part was the fact that it happened, one of the most embarrassing moments that I could, you know, person could actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what I always worry about. Like, what happens if I, like, you know, and these are like worst case, like old person thoughts. Like, what if I have like a heart attack and I'm naked? You know, like, no, I'm just going to dislocate my shoulder and be naked. Like, oh, it was horrible. But my wife was there. She helped me pull my pants up. So it was good. Or get my pants on, rather. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that's it. That's my story.
All right.
So that was my night. All right, Mid-America. Let's go back to Mid-America. Let's do D-Glow because we have all the information here, and then we'll talk about Mid-America Open.
Yep, sounds good.
And who our picks are and if it's worth picking anybody. So men's is Calvin, Corey Ellis, and Richard Wysocki in that order, first, second, and third. I was able to watch a little bit of it, and I thought that Paul had it hands down. I didn't think there was a chance anybody was going to be up there with him. And he just kind of like pooped the bed.
He did. Yeah.
And it was so weird. I wouldn't say poop the bed, but he just wasn't birdieing.
No.
He just wasn't birdieing.
No. And like, so yeah, I watched like successive nights. I caught a lot of Jomez coverage, and then I got home. We were doing something Sunday. I was like, I really want to watch the end of this because I knew it was kind of close because I was watching. I was paying attention on U-Disc. I was like, I got to get home to watch this. So I got home and like turned it on. And unfortunately, it had sound dropped out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it had just ended when I like got turned on live coverage. I was like, what the heck? So I had to wait till Monday night to watch the Jomez coverage.
And that was with the one hole playoff.
Yep.
Between Corey Ellis and Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it was Corey Ellis just threw a bad shot OB.
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
Yeah.
So
otherwise he had a beautiful throw in hole 9 final round. Wait, was that what it was? I forgot what hole it was.
I don't remember what hole it was, but
yeah, it was like 100 feet. That was awesome. And the two, like, they were just battling really, like, back and forth, back, you know, it was close. Yeah. And then Calvin had the two-stroke lead, and then he threw out of bounds on 17.
Yes.
And, like, it just went over that little ridge. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, if you can hit that ridge and keep it in bounds, you know, and he had this hyzer where he didn't get out quite wide enough, and yep. It just, but, yeah, it was exciting. It was a good, I like that course. I like Toboggan. I think it's a fun course. There's a couple changes this year.
Yeah. The changes I'm not really super happy with, because it seems like, so I played it 2017 or 2018. Now they mm-hmm. made some good changes. So it was the year after Paul McBeth shot the 18 under.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So they made some changes there. And then this year, it seems like they just move stuff. Like, some of the holes were unnecessarily long, kind of for no reason long. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have done better with some of the OB, you know, and they talk about the natural OB and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the natural OB is strong there, but it's not, like, you're not dead if you end up in it.
Oh, I mean, we saw Simon got in, like, some kind of funky spots, but he was able to get out when I like was watching. Well,
especially on 16 when he tried to play the big Annie turnover. Yes. And then he just lost the disc. Yes. Way over there, because he was just in it for fun at that right. point.
Yeah.
So I mean, I like it. I don't know. I mean, some of the changes are really, really awesome, like the red carpet and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think some of those changes are awesome, but like this year they changed even more, and you know, and they were finishing what, 25 under was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
That's good.
That's not bad, but, like, did you really need to make it that much harder? You know what I mean? Like, so.
It seems like, well, with Nate being the TD of this mm-hmm. and Ledgestone, yep. he's like, well, you know, Northwoods Black's pretty tough. Let's mm-hmm. try to maybe add something to this to make it not, like, it's never going to come as close because it's way too open and, you know, yep. there are some wooded holes, but, like, increase the difficulty a little, just mm-hmm. enough. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it seemed like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, overall, I love that course. There's nostalgic reasons why I love that course. I can't wait to go back to it again. I know it was open year-round now. Well, excuse me, through the season now. Mm-hmm. Once they open it up for snow, it closes, of course. But, yeah, I really like it. So, no huge things to really talk about on the men's side. No huge controversies or anything like that. So we'll get into the FBO. So Natalie Ryan takes it down, and then Owen Scoggins and Emily Beach tied for second. Pierce and Mandahono tied for third. So this is going to be an I told you so moment. So before we get into that, Natalie Ryan played absolutely phenomenal golf on the second day.
Yeah.
And clean. Just put the disc where she wanted to put the disc and really didn't make that many mistakes.
I think I heard she missed one C1X putt all weekend.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's I mean, I wish I could do that. Let's say that. So, you know, and Owen was pushing for a little while. You know, Emily Beach was pushing for a little while, but for the most part, no. So what about Pierce? What is the deal? Like, going into D-Glow, I would assume hometown for her, for Discraft.
Right.
And a course that she should pretty much dominate on. I mean, you would think with her distance and her putting, mm-hmm. her putting wasn't there though.
No.
But like, I mean, I know she's only in third. She was like, what, four back from lead or five back, something like that. But like, where were you? You know,
yeah.
Like, it's
apart from the first day being on the feature card on GK Pro, I don't think I saw her hardly at all.
No, and it's weird because this year she's just, you know, I mean, she's not doing any worse than she's doing worse than she has, but still by far, you know, one of the best FPO players.
Oh yeah,
but right, she's not showing up like Pierce shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, and but, I don't go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, like, she's kind of talked about taking, like, more time, you know. It was the Champions Cup where she made that big speech about her dad and, like,
oh yeah, where she kind of, yeah,
right. And like, you know, defining what success means to her. And, you know, she's maybe taking a little time here and there, you know, to just kind of recharge or like enjoy life a little more. Like mm-hmm. Paige is still always going to be competitive. I mean, she has the killer instinct. She's just not showing it is right. what it seems like.
Right.
Or, you know, or I mean, I shouldn't say that because obviously she played well at European Open. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you would think that like she just not stringing together runs like we've seen her mm-hmm. string together.
And she's not dominating fields. Mm-hmm. She's not. And I really don't think that's I don't think it's the field getting better. I truly don't. I mean, I think there's definitely more competitors, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's the field stepping up to her. I really think she's coming back down towards the field.
Yeah, I could kind of see that because like so, the Disc Golf Pro Tour has been pushing the you know her documentary, mm-hmm. and there's a point in that commercial where Alyssa, you know her fiance Alyssa Van Lannen, is talking about she's always wanted to elevate the rest of the FPO up mm-hmm. to her where she is, but yeah, like you said, it just feels like yeah maybe like you know. Alexis or Valerie Mondejano has like really stepped up. There's been a number of people stepping up, but maybe it's just like kind of like leveling plateau. Like they're coming up a little bit, but she's also coming back down, like you right. said. Like, yeah. and all of a sudden they're just kind of meeting mm-hmm. there. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. And you know, and I think through her life, there are things that are happening right now, like obviously getting engaged, buying a house, you know, starting this domestic life mm-hmm. of what we could compare, doing a documentary, putting her own, you know, marketing ploy, like getting all that stuff out there and also dealing with another's mental, you know, and when you get married, I mean, that's what you do. You take on the other person's life. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on in her life that she maybe not have justice. So obviously there's a lot of reasons why she may not be playing to Paige of past,
yeah.
but you know, it just seems like this was a course and a time built for her. Mm-hmm. Like it just, so I guess I assumed that she would win. Maybe wrong assumption, you know, yeah. obviously the wrong assumption, yeah. but right. so, but yeah, no, I'm excited to see her come back. I know she will once she gets everything kind of put back together. So let's have the conversation about the, excuse the language, shitstorm that was social media last night or two nights ago. So Natalie Ryan run open one Diglo, the 40th annual Diglo, openly transgender, mm-hmm. no issues. She did everything she was supposed to do. She is completely legal in her play. There is nothing not permitting her to play. Mm-hmm. So here's a told you so. If you go back to previous episodes, we've talked about Natalie Ryan twice before. So we had a bit more cojones than other, I guess, disc golf outlets to just talk about it because right. there's nothing wrong with talking about something. So we've said openly, well, at least I'll speak for myself. I've said openly that I don't have an issue in the world with her playing because there's no rules that permit her from playing. Mm-hmm. I have an issue with the PDGA saying we're taking on the IOC and the rules. When the rules... Especially now they've come out and said, hey, the sports should pick what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But talking about hormone levels and everything like that, where the PDGA cannot, they don't have the resources to make those tests or have those tests or anything like that. So with that being said, the shitstorm that has happened, I said that the PDGA should take a stance. Mm-hmm. Make some rules, and then everybody can go from there. Instead, they're just trying to float out there and take this false stance on something that they can't actually enforce or even, what do they call it? They can't do anything about it. They're right. just saying, hey, we side with the AOC, and the AOC says you should do what you need to do mm-hmm. as a sport. So, you know, it's unfortunate that Natalie Ryan, who did everything she should have, is competing on the up and up and on the level, and she won in an event that she's allowed to compete in. Per PDGA rules, she's getting so much crap. sucks for her.
It sucks. Yeah.
It sucks for her. I understand both sides. I understand where both sides are coming from. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that she has to deal with that because there should have been something said on the PDGA's level before any of this happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my opinion. I mean,
that's the thing about, with disc golf being relatively brand new to people still and growing, PDGA just wants to look like the good guy. They don't want to.
They don't want to rock the boat.
Right, exactly. They're like, we just want to keep the neutral, you know, everything in flow, nice and balanced. But people are asking you, not necessarily FPO players, it seems like people from the outside not competing are putting pressure on the PDGA to make a stance more so than like the people actually competing.
But do you think that is for reasons of
sponsorship?
Sponsorship and also the reasons of like, I don't know what any other way but political way to say it, but like
they don't want to appear bigoted,
bald or bigoted or whatever, you know, like there's all these different terms, whatever side you want to come from, whatever side you take, you don't want to be canceled. I mean, plain and simple.
Exactly.
And it can happen very easily. I mean, look at Austin Hannum. Like he's kind of a black sheep because of the stuff he says. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you think they're going to want to step out and say that?
Absolutely not.
I think they should have a outlet to say whether they agree with it or don't agree with it and whether they think it's fair to them or not fair to them. But that doesn't mean anything. I think the competition committee or the medical committee or whatever it is on the PDGA needs to figure out how they are going to or what they are going to do. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. I don't have the answers for them.
Right.
That's why they're there. That's why they hold the positions they have. Step up and take a stance.
Right. And on social media and things, I've seen a lot of people are like, well, they need to make a transgender division.
For the
two people that aren't, like, I can only think of two people. It's Chloe Ellis and Natalie Ryan. That's two people out of however many people are on tour right now that you're creating this extra division. Like, do you go out and play with the MPO? Do you go play with the FPO? What are your tee times? Like, there's a lot of different things there, and you're in a division of two people. Maybe more people will come out, you know, who knows when.
Right.
But in a sport that everybody's like, oh, we're inclusive. Okay, is creating this new division inclusive? Or are you forcing people out of a division or whatever they're in and making them feel excluded when they identify as this? You know, that's, I don't know. That's a weird situation.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing. And, you know, if it was that Natalie Ryan just identified as a woman, I think I'd be a little more critical of it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, from what I understand, the transition is happening or has happened.
Right.
And there's hormones, there's things like that. So there are things that have happened where, you know, they do some, there's some studies out there about hormones. And once hormones have been, treatments have been done, that you don't stay at the same performance level as in some sports.
Right.
Other sports, you still have, but that's a problem. Disc golf hasn't had anything done. Nobody's taken a step out to see whether there truly is a competitive advantage.
Right.
For, and I don't like take the transgender out of it. It's the competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. Why is there an FPO division? It's for the competitive advantage.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so that they can compete on a same level and neutral level as everybody else in that division. Why is there a age protected division? Same thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where the question in my mind is the competitive advantage. You know, if Natalie Ryan truly has a competitive advantage, let's take Natalie Ryan out of it. If a transgender has a competitive advantage either way, is it fair to that division?
Mm. Well, here's the thing. Nobody's going to complain about a woman transgendering to being a man and playing an MPO.
Like, absolutely.
Right? Because men already have the competitive advantage.
That's right.
And, you know, the other thing that people are, you know, scientifically proven is that your DNA is in your bones. It's in your body. Mm-hmm. Like you can change, you can take, you know, like you said, different hormones, different drugs to like equal out your testosterone levels and everything. Yep. But when it comes down to DNA, you're still defined by your DNA as being man or woman, or, you know, male, female.
Built different.
Built different. Yeah. So yeah, it's a funny way of looking at things, but
yeah, you know, so for me, it's hard from the outside looking in because I have no experience with this.
Right.
I know one person that is transgender and I've had some really awesome conversations with her. Like, and she'll tell me whatever she wants, you know, whatever I want to know. And it's a great conversation. The sad part is it's all the other a-holes out in the world that don't allow that conversation to happen openly. Mm-hmm. That's what sucks, because it's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to disagree with people 100%. Like, I actually love it when people disagree with me because it makes me think about what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And why I'm saying it. It's just not happening in social media.
No. And you're not going to win keyboard warriors over, right. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Right. And I think this is a societal issue that people will very easily step onto a phone, a keyboard, any social media mechanism and say whatever the hell they want with no filter simply because they can, because there are zero repercussions for what they're going to say.
Right. The only thing that that happened on social media really is PDGA, Disc Golf Pro Tour, they were just limiting comments. They're like, only certain people can comment on this. And then stuff was just filtered through. God, I got to stop hitting the mic. Stuff was just filtered through immediately. Like anything mm-hmm. negative was just taken out, you know? Yeah. I mean, it should be, because like it kind of comes from a hateful, I don't want to say hateful, but a less than nice
place. Yeah, yeah. You know, I take a different stance on speech because you're not going to wake up and get cancer from what someone says to you.
No.
You know, you're not going to wake up. I mean, sure, there are some mental things you've got to deal with hateful speech, but it's speech. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you don't like it, don't pay attention to it.
Right.
Don't listen to it. Walk away from it. I think we all have the responsibility to tell somebody if, hey, like you need to cool it down. Mm-hmm. Like we all have that responsibility, but to say that you can't say that, that's not my way of going about it. Like if we had someone go crazy on social media with us, I mean, we have it with our other businesses. Like we leave it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I want everybody to see that because it's also how we react to it. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So we always respond to stuff, you know, good or bad. We always respond to stuff. And I think that's what makes or breaks true constructive criticism and conflict. Like conflict is not always a bad thing. It can be a good thing. Unfortunately, I think we're at a point that sometimes you can't let the dicks be dicks.
Yeah.
And, or people aren't allowed to be dicks, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, they might type it, but you're not going to leave it up there. I don't know. You know, online, I guess. So Hunter from Foundation said something really good. And I kind of like it. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but it struck me like, hey, I like that statement. He says, I'm leaving it up because I want people to know who these people are that are saying this stuff. And then they can take the.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, like.
Right.
If you want to be a dick, be a dick.
Right.
But and everybody's going to know you're a dick.
Yes. Yes, you know? Absolutely.
So excuse my language. I'm sorry. I don't speak this way, but just people simply are, you know, it's sad. And so, yeah. So I don't know if there's anything more constructive that we could say or that I can say unless you have something else.
No, but I mean, this isn't the first situation in a, you know, there's, the reason that the Olympic committee had to initially come up with those rules was because of, I think it was the, man transitioning to be a woman from South Africa. I believe it was in the Olympics. I forgot how far back, but you know, she had ended up like, I think winning a race or coming in second or something. So they had to adopt these rules and test hormone levels and everything. There's a swimmer, I believe it's at Penn State, that transitioned as well. And people are like, oh, they're going to have such a competitive advantage over the females that he's racing with. Well, he didn't win like a ton of races. He's placing like sixth, seventh out of, however many competitors. Mm-hmm. It's tough for me to say that, yes, like our bodies as men transitioning, if we were to transition to women, like obviously, yes, we have a larger size. Our muscles and things are different, but I mean, I'm not going to go take estrogen and find out how, like, I don't know, like how much of a competitive advantage do you have once you take these hormones and transition? I don't know.
I don't think you or I can say whether they do or don't.
Right.
You know, so they've done a couple studies. There was one with a cyclist that was done that, no, runner that was done and basically said you were a mid-level male athlete. After transitioning, you were a mid-level female athlete. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. So no big deal. We're not going to do any. So if you want to transition, that's it. But you have to show certain hormone levels, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Swimming. So the International Swimming Committee or whatever, whoever it is, I don't know the exact names of them, but it was this International Swimming Council. Mm-hmm. Just recently said, nope, no transgender, because we have found that there is a competitive advantage to a female or to a male transitioning to female.
I can see that because I think length in swimming with like legs and arms, you can generate so much power, so much more power with your like drag, when you're pulling through and with your like kick, your flutter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they made a decision based on their sport and their body mechanics and their. So the reason I bring those two up is running, no advantage. Swimming, they found an advantage. Mm-hmm. You can disagree or not disagree with it. It is what it is. Those are the facts. Those are the findings that they've presented. Disc golf doesn't have any of that.
Right. There's no data.
Exactly. So that's where I'm coming from. It's not a Natalie Ryan fault. It's not of all these other competitors. It's not the social media world. It's not the Disc Golf Pro Tour. It is the PDGA.
Right. There's a weird question I was going to ask. Competitively, has she competed in a disc golf pro tour event at all as a male?
Like I didn't do the research.
I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't either. It's just a weird thing. I would be curious, like, if she has, and like, I don't know.
Just to see where she falls into there, right? And everything.
Yeah,
I haven't done any of that research because. I mean, in my mind, it's come across my mind. Like, I wonder if she's actually competed as a male.
Yeah.
And what that looked like. Mm-hmm. And then kind of just, because she would be a great one to kind of base some of these findings off. Like, okay, you were a below average male, and now you're an above average female in competition. How does that look? So how can we base these things? And obviously you can't base an entire set off of her, but it would be neat to see.
It would be.
Just for sake of information.
Yeah.
You know? Not a what do they call it? The silver bullet. You know, it's like not that. Just for sake of information. I think it'd be fun to see. But I haven't. I don't care.
I don't know.
It's not that important to me because it doesn't affect me.
It's crossed my mind that I was just in the back, I don't care. It was just in the back of my mind, like, I wonder if that's happened.
So, in my mind, I want to break this down and just say, moral of the story is, PDGA, step up your game. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, you need to figure out something and just take an official stance. Yep. Stop leaning on something that doesn't take an official stance. And the rules and parameters that are set up now, you guys can't do. Why are you going to adopt something just makes zero sense to me.
It does.
And then second, excuse the language once again, quit being a dick. If you have a constructive question or a constructive criticism, go ahead, let it fly. But to be angry and to be mean, it's not okay. It's just simply not okay. Just to make these ridiculous comments about, well, she's still a man. Like, sure. Maybe she is. Maybe that's what you believe. Is it appropriate to put it out there? You have every right to, but is it appropriate? Mm-hmm. You know, just like, would you, you know, look at an old lady and be like, holy moly, the flaps under your arms are huge. Like, it's true. It might be a factual statement. Is it appropriate to say?
Yeah.
You know, like, pick your words wisely. You know, so, all right.
Okay.
That's all I got to say. You got any more?
No.
All right.
Not right now.
So, Paul, we talked about a caddy situation.
Yeah.
Did you see the interview with Paul?
No, I didn't see it.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. So, we talked about Paul last week. We were talking about, do you think Paul is going the professional caddy route? Mm-hmm. And do you think Paul could use a caddy? So, Paul actually admitted to using the advice of that caddy, and he said, because he knows the course better than I do, he knows where to throw the disc, and he knows the lines better than I do. That's why I use them.
Okay.
Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
So
I think that's kind of what we thought.
Oh, yeah. But so I think this truly could be the start of something magical and special with professional caddies in disc golf, and I think it'd be awesome if it happens.
So was he here? He was at Deagle? Is that yes, right?
He was okay. At Deagle.
Did he mention if he's staying any longer?
He didn't.
Okay.
He didn't. No, I don't know anything about that.
I mean,
I give, you know, Paul a call if you want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can.
Paul, if you can send me your number, I'll call you and ask. All right. So I think outside of that, ready to go on to the listener bag analysis.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe, you had to follow that conversation, but I think it was a good and fruitful one. I don't have any issues with it. Okay, here we go. So, Joey_disc.golf on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Joey Adams. This is his bag. So, can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. Be honest. I would love to hear what you have to say. The bag I'm rocking is a Dynamic Discs Paratrooper, and he has everything sitting on a Zooka cart, which I'm assuming is going to be the easy cart or backpack cart, one of the two.
Yep.
So I'll start with putters. He has two MVP Nomads for putting, which are basically maidens. I mean, wardens, right?
Ish. They have a bead.
Oh, they do have a bead? Mm-hmm. Also, they're judges.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I had two of the Conrad ones at home. So, but I think I remember them having a little bit of a micro bead or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Two Axiom Envies for throwing. Good choice. Two Streamline Stabilizers, Casaplast Berg, and a DD Saki Bomb Slammer.
Okay. Mid ranges, Axiom Hex. Three MVP reactors. I just sent them one. Two MVP. Is it Pyros? Is that Axiom or MVP? I'm not sure, but it's an overmold. It's one of theirs. And then he's a DD Justice.
Right. So for fairways, he's rocking an Axiom Crave, a Prodigy F5. MVP Inertia, the Axiom Insanity, an MVP Terra, and a Streamlined Flare.
Okay. And then drivers, he's got an MVP Photon, an MVP Wave, and an MVP Octane.
Oh, jeez. All right. So let's go back to the putter. So I said, oh, geez, because I just got a story from Jordan. It's funny. So let's go back to the putter. So Nomads, I don't know enough about them, but if they're not judges, not okay. So he was traditionally or majority DD thrower for quite a while, or a trilogy thrower for quite a while.
Yeah,
he was a
trilogy. Yeah, I've interacted with him on social media quite a bit. He threw a lot of trilogy for a while. And then once he got sponsored by a shop or something, he kind of switched his bag over more to MVP.
Okay.
But I mean, he still he got a couple of discs in here that aren't just gyro.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Traditionally, he switched. Yeah. That's perfect. All.
Okay. And then Axiom Envies for throwing. I've said it 100 times. Every time I see one in a bag, I completely understand it. They are great throwing discs, high speed stability, and they seem to go forever.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to say. The stabilizer, from what I understand, overstable putter. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty overstable.
Okay.
From what I've heard.
Yeah. I believe I've thrown one once. And if I remember rightly, it is pretty darn stable, like harpish stable, if I remember rightly. Okay. Like you always have to have one of those good forehand discs. Kasplasberg, once again, can't complain about that one. I think that's always a good choice. It's a point and shoot, and it's going to really stay in line, really forgiving. And the Saki Bomb Slammer, just beefcake dump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty glideless. And so
this is funny. I don't know. I don't know if I've seen one. Does MVP or Axiom or, you know, any of the gyro discs, is there a thumb track disc at all? Not that I've seen.
In any of the stuff we've ever had.
No, I don't know. Like that's interesting to me. Like if they could make an overmold thumb track, like higher up on the flight plate or something like that, that'd be pretty crazy.
I wonder if they could. Well, yeah, I wonder if they could. Cause yeah, that would be neat to see kind of a slammer where it would be like a halo slamming a, what do they call it?
Orbit
slammer.
But like with it, like, actually the orbit part would actually be the overmold. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
That would be. Yeah. You know, anyway. And DD or Lat64 used to do overmolds too.
Yeah, so. I got a bunch of the overmold discs.
Yeah, whether it was the Zion, the
Bryce. Shoot.
I used to throw it was like a mid and overstable.
Yeah, I have it at mid. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I have them sitting downstairs. So, all right. I don't really have much to say in the bad, because I think you're layering your putters, layering your throwers. It does seem like, if I'm correct about the stabilizer, the Berg and the Slammer. Well, the stabilizer and the Slammer, they're pretty similar other than the thumb track.
Yeah.
Just kind of that over lot of lateral movement left and right. So maybe it's just trying to figure it out. Maybe wanting to kick. No, because the Saki Bomb Slammer is new. So maybe it's just one of those, like, I liked it. I like Ricky. Want to put it in the bag. That's fine.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, all right. You start with the mid.
Yeah. So he's got an Axiom Hex, which is pretty understable. Not like crazy understable, but it's
like a fuse.
Yeah. It's understable. And I've thrown one. I have one. It feels shallower in the hand to me. Like the numbers, I think, are 5/5 -1/1 or something like that. It was kind of supposed to be like a buzz or something, but it just felt shallower to me in the hand, and it just maybe a little less stable. And I think that's good. Like that's if that's your understable disc, awesome. 3 MVP reactors, which is kind of, they're like your straight mid-range with just like a little fade, like a truth, or not a truth, a EMAC truth is what it is. And I think they're great discs. Like they can handle torque really well. They'll fly straight and you'll just get that little bit of dump. He's got 3 of them, so he must have them in like varying plastics. So he must be just layering them or, using them for situations. Pyros, I haven't seen one. I think Caden has thrown them. I think they're a little more stable, but not like crazy overstable.
Yeah, the MVP, they're pyros or MVP, right?
Yeah, that's what he said, MVP pyro. I think it's pyro. I think it's MVP.
Axiom.
Okay.
Hold on. Pyro is... It is Axiom.
Okay.
Axiom. That doesn't seem right. What's Axiom's a... No, they're the one, the colored rims.
Right? They are the colored rims.
Okay.
The colored overmolds, yeah.
Yeah. They're 5/4/0, 2.5. So they're slightly more stable than an EMAC.
Yeah.
So they're like an EMAC Hybrid X or a Lucid X.
Yeah, okay. And then...
That's what I'd give them.
And then the Justice, which I think is a disc that people should have in the bag, or a disc like the Justice. Mm-hmm. You know, just for, like, you never know.
Right.
Situationally, just to have it. And, like, I can, I might... For me, like, I have one in the bag, but I also have a Mutant. Like, they're kind of almost the same. Mutant probably has a little more glide to it. Not as much dump, but... Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with the Justice. Mm-mm.
All right, so Crave, F5, they're fairly similar, if I remember. Crave is more stable than the F5, but not by much. I mean, they're very similar discs.
Slower, though. I think the Crave is a little slower than the F5.
Yeah, I think the F5 is a 9?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And the
Crave is, I think, is a 7 or an 8.
I think it's like a 6.5.
Is it? Oh, that's right. They do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. You
I
might
think
be.
It's a Sarah. I think it's a Holcomb. Sarah Holcomb disc. It yeah.
is. Yep. And then the Inertia. Those we had in the player box.
I do remember seeing a couple come out of those Gyropalooza boxes. Mm-hmm.
And they have a glow. There's a glow. They're the MVP Inertia Eclipse. The glow. It's a blue.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. So if that's one of these, that's fantastic. I have not had a chance to throw one of those yet. But those, if I'm just double checking before I go off and say it. So those are a 9.5 neg 2.2. So it is an understable fairway driver.
Okay.
The Insanity is 9.5 or 9.6 neg 1.
Mm-hmm.
1. I used to throw the Insanity. I love the Insanity. Like, It would have a potential of kicking an FD out of my bag.
Okay.
It's faster.
Yeah.
But it has that same flight. So escape-ish, it's a 9. Yeah, maybe? Escapist, exactly. And then the Terra and the Flare are the two. I don't know anything about the Terra. I know about the Flare.
Yeah, the Terra is like a 8.50 or like 0.52. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not sure about the Flare. It's so a 9-speed disc, it says. Right.
So it is 9403. So it's Firebird.
Yeah, okay.
So it's Firebird.
I think that's a decent disc to have as your overstable. And then you have the Terra is more of your like, I mean, yeah, it's you're going to have that a little bit longer with the 5 glide, you know, just straight. And not as much dump, but I think that's a good, solid straight just to have in your bag.
Yep. All right. So on to the driver. So Photon, that is really understable, isn't it?
I think
like
so.
Like a neg 3 or maybe even a neg 3.5 or...
MVP.
Because I know the Wave is a neg 1.5 or neg 2,
it's
depending on the plastic.
Right. And that's like Wraith-ish.
Yeah, Wraith, Trespass, and then the Octane is kind of Destroyer.
But it's really high. Like, the Octane, I think, is pretty high speed.
14 or 14.5, I think.
Something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, to get kind of to an overview of the Octane, I mean, of the bag. So, the only thing that I always question, Joey, now that we've kind of gone through them, we've kind of gone through what it is, it looks like you have a good variety as far as understable, stable, and overstable. I don't think there's anything that I would say stability-wise that you're missing. I think you're covering your bases pretty darn well here. As far as putters go, I always just kind of say, hey, whatever feels best in your hand for your putter. So if Nomads are work and they're rocking for you, go for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, no issues whatsoever. As far as your throwers go, I don't think there's really that much. I always question when you have two things that are very, very, very similar to one another, like the stabilizer and the slammer. I think the new DD slammers probably a bit more dumpy than the stabilizer. So if that's the case, ignore me. If not, if those two are pretty much the same, I say grab whichever one you like the most or you feel the most comfortable with and stick with that one. Because when you have that overlap so close, like I used to carry, you know, FDs and Rivers and blah, blah, you know, I had like 3 or 4 molds that were almost exactly the same. And I just had to pick one and go with it because I would go, I should have picked this one or I should have picked that one or I should have picked that one. And now I have 3 FDs in my bag, stable, overstable, and understable, and those are the 3 that I throw. But I think all in all, I think you're good. But like I said, the only thing that I always tell people, why are you sticking to one brand? If you're sponsored or you're looking to get sponsored by that brand, good for you, go for it. But if not, I think you're missing out on so many disc potentials that it's not worth it because they're not giving you anything to do this. Now, if this fills your heart, makes you feel good, go for it. That's up to you. But man, there are so many amazing discs out there that you could be passing up. And sometimes you just grab a disc, it works, mm-hmm. and you can just throw it. And it may not be a popular disc. It may not be a disc within the brand that you have, but if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I know. So like the Photon, so I was just looking at numbers for Photon. They say it's a, on MVP, it says it's a straight, stable to overstable.
Okay.
11, 5, minus 1, 2.5. And then the wave. So
that's a wraith.
Yeah. And then the wave is 11, 5, minus 2, 2. So, mm-hmm. I mean. Mm-hmm. Similar, pretty close. I mean, you might get a little more turn out of the than out of the wave, and like mm-hmm. depending on plastic, you know, it might be a lighter weight. You know, like those Fission waves are really lightweight. You can get them down mm-hmm. in the 150s, and then like you know mm-hmm. the other plastics, you can get them a little more closer to max weight. So
yeah.
Who knows what plastic he's throwing or whatever, but. I mean, they're kind of, to me, they sound kind of similar.
See, my experience with the wave is they are, that neg two is true. Like it is true neg two. Mm-hmm. So like I throw a trespass and I can get it to stand up and slowly turn and then come back.
Okay. Yeah.
A wave. If I throw it up, if I throw this hard flat, it's like just going to hold. It's just going to hold and keep going.
Yeah.
So that's my experience with the wave. And that could be the overmold. It could be whatever it is, but that's my experience with the wave. If you put it on high, it's a fantastic hyzer flip disc for me. So, and like I said, I kind of peek out at that 400 mark.
Yeah.
So it's, that's a, I love that disc. I don't bag it because it's overlap for me, but
sure.
I love that disc. Now the Octane, I know that's an overstable for me.
It says it's 13, 5, minus 1, 2.
Okay. So maybe it's the 13 speed that got me for the overstable because I have thrown the Octane before. And it reminds me of a Ballista Pro.
Okay.
So.
Huh, interesting. It, you know, MVP and like Axiom, they all go by their, they don't say, everything's always listed under millimeters. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the
rim width and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And like, they don't have a 12 speed driver at all.
Huh.
Interesting. It's 13, 13, and then it bumps up to 14s, 14 and a half.
Yep, yep. Like they have a couple half-speed discs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably just something with their old molding technologies and things like that.
Right. I mean, it's and like I mentioned before, he jumped from Trilogy into mostly MVP. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, like there's other things out there like if,
right.
but if you are a diehard, you know, gyro head or whatever, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that like we've said, there's a lot of discs out there that can either fill something that you might need mm-hmm. or just don't limit yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know, and like Lone Star, I never thought I would pick up a Lone Star disc and just absolutely fall in love with this tiny little company. And then now you see like, why can't I not remember his name from European Open?
Chandler Kramer. Yeah.
You know, you pick up like, you see Chandler Kramer now, he's sporting Lone Star mm-hmm. and, you know, they got something like 18 molds now and, you know, they're running full lines. Like, why miss out on that? These are fantastic discs. Like Castoplast, like you got a Berg in your bag. Have you ever thrown any other Castoplast?
Right.
Like, why not? You know, that's a great little brand. What about Clash? Like Clash has some fantastic molds.
I meant to bring those discs over.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm not throwing anything for the last couple of weeks anyways. So I mean, I guess that's my only criticism for anybody that comes in with these, you know, single company heavy bags mm-hmm. is why are they paying you for this? Are you sponsored by them? Are you trying to get sponsored by them? Awesome. If not, it's you're putting yourself at a disadvantage for not being able to try other brands, other discs. So that's about all I have to say, Joey. All right, so
he's gonna be a daddy.
Soon. Oh,
well, he's already a dad, but they have another baby on the way.
Well, congratulations and good luck.
Yeah, two.
Yep.
Have fun.
Yeah, it's man zone now. So man zone what? Man zone.
Okay.
How about man-to-man defense?
Yeah, right.
So, all right, my friend, Joey_disc.golf is his Instagram handle. So give them a check, give them a like, tell them how awesome his bag is or how awesome it's not. And just don't tell them we sent you.
Just don't tell them.
All right. JP, funny. You said you had a scenario for us.
I
want to hear it.
Okay. Well, I kind of mentioned it before off air, but, and then it came up that it wasn't what I thought because of a personal relationship, but I'll go through it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I won't say who it is, what company or whatever, but okay. So
it was Eric Oakley.
Okay. It was Eric Oakley. Yeah. All right.
It's on social media. It's not like they can't find it.
Come on. I know. Okay. So he was throwing a new ThoughtSpace Athletics Pathfinder. Like they just, or it wasn't, yeah, I guess it was new. It was like ethereal plastic or something that came out. It was someone's new design. And so someone had asked him, who makes ThoughtSpace's plastic? And he said, do some research and you'll find it out. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. And initially, like, that's all I saw of the post last night. Now, since there's been a lot of different comments and things about, you know, what had happened. And it turns out that he had a personal relationship with the guy who asked this question. He's, like, just kind of trolling him about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong in the response that he gave. Like, just do some research and you know, you can figure out who made this. But initially I was like, you think that this is a waste of your time and like you kind of look like a dick for saying it that way. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the first time I've kind of heard Eric be kind of arrogant or whatever, but like if you asked a touring professional about a disc they're throwing and they had like a legit spot, like a legit answer for you at that, what would you think? Mm-hmm. Like how would you respond and would you support that player?
Are you talking about it? If Eric
or anybody,
well, anybody, let's say,
yeah, just anybody
was just like
a touring pro and you asked them about a disc they're throwing
and they said that
and they said that to
do some research, man. Like,
yeah, I don't know. How would you?
I think it would rub me the wrong way.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm a pretty critical guy, so I think it would probably rub me the wrong way a little more than most, but because I'd be like, dude, why you gotta be a dick? You know?
Yeah.
What is with the language today?
We might have to put a little
explicit.
Yeah. Just this episode.
I know. It's funny. I don't even talk that way ever in life. I guess that might be an appropriate, well, a used word by me, but anyways, yeah. So I would say something like, dude, seriously? Like, I'm just asking about the disc.
Yeah.
You know where it's from. I don't. Like, just tell me what it is. But yeah. I would take a bit offense to it. But I think it, in my mind, I wanted you to say it because in my mind, it two sides of it come. And I think this is the like coach of me, the business coach in me, is that there's two things you can take from this. First of all, don't just judge by a first statement. Like, you don't know the background on it, like all that stuff. When you're talking about when Eric Oakley put it out there and everybody's like, it sounds like you're a dick, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then on the second thing, like, watch your words carefully. Like, make sure you phrase statements, especially online or in digital form, very carefully.
Right.
Because you can be perceived very easily as something.
Yeah.
And we all know that everybody is very rational and reasonable online. But just in case there aren't, you're going to come up to some issues with phrasing stuff. So I've coined it as many, many, many years ago, like 2003, as bandwidth bravery. And what it is that someone gets behind a keyboard and they will say whatever they want to say. And on the opposite end, you're going to take it however you want to take those words because there is no emotion in a keyboard.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. And the only emotion in a keyboard or on screen or in words is the emotion you give it as the reader, as the consumer. So be very careful with how you phrase things because I've gotten in trouble a ton with that because I'm very direct and to the point. And when I write text or anything like that, like I've pissed a lot of people off doing that. And then I have to come back and like, that wasn't at all what I meant. Like, why are you pissed? Right. and then I'm like mad at them for being mad at me for nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I go back and read my text. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I get it.
Right. Like even someone on this like Facebook group's like, you know, like later he goes, oh, it's okay. We have a personal relationship. I'm just giving him a hard time. And then someone's like, dude, you look like a real dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, writing that. Cause like exactly like you said, yep. There's no emotion except for what you take it as.
Yep.
And it's like, I want, you know, I don't know if Eric like thinks he's like, well, maybe I did, but whatever, you know.
Either way, it's a good point to step back. I mean, he may just blow it off as it's nothing. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he listens to this, like, just step back and think about that a little bit. He
probably doesn't.
No, I would highly doubt it. I don't think there's many people that listen to this. But for the four of you, thanks. I appreciate it very much. Okay. I want to talk about Nick Sexton real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared Orr.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was
What's crazy. Up?
That's ridiculous, too.
Has there been any...
Okay, apart from the initial story and...
I saw something on Dollar Disc Golf.
Oh, auctions,
really? Or Disc Golf auction page okay. or something, too. So.
Yeah, so I had originally seen it Sunday morning before the final round on fake PDGA's Facebook page, and then he put it out on his Instagram page, you know, in his story. On
stories, yeah.
And disabled, like, all the comments and everything, so nobody could comment, but... Mm-hmm. The fact that it was put out there, I was just like, oh boy.
That means there's something serious.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you don't know, Running It with Nate Sexton was put out. Nate was the main.
Yeah, it was produced.
And then produced by Jared Orr, who apparently was a producer of some other podcasts beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Like WWE Wrestling.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as producer, he was in charge of getting sponsorships for the show, commercials, you know, edit, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate put out a statement saying, hey, Jared's been ghosting me. If he's asked you for money.
It's not on behalf of me.
It's not on behalf of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's just wild.
Yeah. So text chain between Nate Sexton and someone else. I don't remember who the guy was. It was a disc dyer. Showed the interaction between Jared Orr and that disc dyer. And basically what he was saying is like, hey, we want to feature disc dyers on. So send me some stuff. Cliff Notes version. Go find it. Go read it to give it more context. But then that guy was like, man, this just seems weird because you haven't put out episodes in a while. And he's talking like he's put in episodes. So I'm going to just hit up Nate Sexton because the guy knew Nate Sexton personally. So the dyer, he flipped it over to Nate Sexton. He's like, I know nothing about this. Dude hasn't called me. And then it shows kind of the text chain. He says, hey, I just called him. Didn't pick up. This is the third time I've called him. Didn't pick up. And then so he's ghosting me. So tell everybody. Don't do it. I'm going to post something on my stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the last that I've seen of it. But
that's so sad.
That sucks that if that's the case, I hope it's not. I hope he's wrong. But also at this point, is there any coming back from that? You know?
I don't think Nate catches any flack for this.
No, no, not like, Nate.
Oh, no, Jared. No, no, no.
I like, he's even if it was nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that now he can do to come back into this.
That, yeah, because he has that stigma with him that this has happened. Yeah. And now, like, who's going to want to work with him? Like,
nobody.
It's just weird that, yeah, like, why? Like, you've had this working relationship for at least two seasons of the podcast. And then all of a sudden to go just ghost. Like, nothing, you know, just wild.
Well, and also the thing that blows my mind, hundreds of thousands of listeners a month.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I mean, but nevertheless, that was also in that text chain. That was what Jared proposed as the advertisement, like trying to get the, as really? The marketing employees, like, hey, we have hundreds of thousands of listens a month. And I'm like, no way. Like hundreds of thousands of listens a month put you in like top 10 podcasts.
Right. Like there's just over just over 200,000 now PDGA members. I mean, like it's possible that people
very possible.
Yeah. So, but holy cow.
Yeah. But that's what he said. And I looked at it and I'm like, you know, we don't do bad. We're nowhere
No, not
we
even
don't even have that for total listens.
No, no.
So it just
we're building there though, yeah, man. We're getting there.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll do a 100,000 listen party one day. Probably be a couple of years from now,
but. Right.
Because all four of you just keep listening. Maybe listen twice. How about that?
I did say that about not having the Monday podcast. I was like, yeah, just go listen to the
I saw that.
Listen to the Friday podcast twice for us. Yeah.
All right. So I do have a random question for Jordan. Oh, I have two. I'm going to pick the more funny one because we're at about an hour and 20 minutes already.
Holy cow. Okay.
So here we go. Jordan really loves birds. So that will set the premise.
Okay. Alyssa hates birds.
Yeah. Jordan hates them too. So... extra question is this is his extra question. So how many times have you been physically assaulted by a bird? So because my fourth time just happened in Ephraim, which is a town near us tonight, with about 20 witnesses right across the street from Wilson's, nailed me right in the back of my head. I didn't even know what it was till people nearby me yelling that the bird just nailed me. So he got assaulted by a bird, got nailed in the back of that. So red-winged blackbirds are nasty up here. Mm. If you get near, like, within, like, 20 yards of their nest, they're, like, getting crazy with
okay.
you. So how many times have you been physically assaulted by a bird?
Once.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It was in college. We had apartments on campus. It was near this little kind of, like, lagoon pond. And it was notorious for having Canadian geese. And so we would, you know, walk to class and goose poop everywhere, whatever, like you just dealt with it. But these geese were just so, you know, used to seeing, like being around humans and everything. They didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But one time just got a little too close to the pond, you know, you didn't want to go near the pond anyway, like just because it smelled awful.
Yeah.
But the sidewalk went right by a bunch of willow trees, and I didn't see this goose. Just walked, and it, bam, just, like, got.
Actually got you.
Got me, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, you know, flapping its wings a little bit towards mm-hmm. me and everything, and turn around, and I just booked it. I was like, on my way to class, I was like, yep, just got to get a little.
You're so much better than me. I would have thrown an elbow or.
No, like, no, I just, yeah, just, like,
DDT,
get up and that little.
Really?
Grabbing, yeah, got me. And I was just like, nope, I'm not dealing with this. I'm see you later. Because I think it seems like maybe it's, you know, you see one go and all of a sudden, like, others get territorial and, like, yeah. a bunch of them start joining in. No, thanks.
Yeah. Don't want to be part of that.
No, not at all.
See, I would have, like, Happy Gilmore'd it. I would have been, like, in the pond, elbowing
this
it.
This one's
like,
for Chubbs.
Yeah, exactly. I have, believe it or not, never been assaulted by a bird. I've been around a lot of people mm-hmm. that have been assaulted by birds, but I've always been faster than them. Okay. So for like geese and ducks yeah. and things like that, they get pissy. I'm always fast because I'm not going to stand there.
Yeah.
The only time that I can think of that I almost got attacked, but Sandy got the brunt of it, which was pretty funny, was, which was my wife. Gabby was maybe like 2 years old, mm-hmm. maybe three, and we're at the NEW Zoo. And we come up over this bridge, and there's a sign on the bridge that says, caution, blackbirds may attack.
Okay.
So I'm walking probably, no, Malachi was newborn. And yeah, Gabby's about three or four. Gabby's on my shoulders, and Malachi's in being pushed by her in the stroller. And I can hear her talking out loud, caution, blackbird may, and as she gets to that point, yeah. there's this black fluff that hits the back of her head and just goes nuts for like one or, and yeah. she's like, yeah, just starts running.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden this bird flies off and I am just dying laughing with Gabby on my shoulders. And somehow we didn't get touched. Like mm-hmm. it didn't come back for us, but it came back for Sandy one more time.
Wow.
It was crazy. And Gabby's like, what was that? I go, that was a bird.
Dang. So I have a, okay, I'm going to follow this up real quick. Mm-hmm. I have another like incidental animal. It wasn't like an attack, but it just incidentally happened to me. We were at the farm in Sturgeon Bay mm-hmm. and they have this bigger cow or like Brahma
yeah,
bull
kind of the thing. Longhorn.
Yeah. The longhorn.
Yeah.
So we were in the little area where it's at, like they have a little petting area, like it'll come in and eat hay or whatever. So mm-hmm. it was down eating hay. And I was just getting kind of close and like pet the top of it. And it turned its head one way and turned back, and the horn caught me right in the chest plate.
No like, way.
You know, it's filed down, so it's not sharp or whatever, but it was still a good solid point, and just goes boom, right in my chest plate, knocked the wind out of me for like 10, 15 seconds. I was just like,
really?
I was with my parents and my, I think it was my sister, someone else. And they just look at me and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, you know, like trying to like gasp air, but like talk at the same time. Yeah. And all of a sudden I was like, I just kind of like, you know, patted the chest. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And they're like, I'm like, can we go?
Yeah.
Like, I've had enough animals for today.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't a malicious, like he wasn't trying to hit you.
He just turned his head like he's trying to get hit, like, you know, down in the trough or whatever. And I just got a little too close and just right in the chest.
Oh. That thing's been there for a long time.
It has. It's old.
Yeah.
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 It's a good thing it was filed down because hospital visits were not on the agenda for that day.
That would have made it in the Pulse for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Boy dies. All right. Let's do shop updates and get you guys off of here. I know you love hearing our voice, but probably not this much. Okay, here we go. DD Slammers are in this new Saki Slammers. They released some more, and they're still technically first runs. So first run stamp are still on them.
Okay.
So, and Cloudbreakers stock runs are coming in. They are different than the DD3s. So I got some, so they will be in. I believe they released on the 17th. So we still got a couple weeks here until they release.
And, I know, what else? P1s are coming out.
That's right.
The 17th is, I don't know if you guys.
So Tilt and P1s are going to drop.
Full Tilt,
yeah.
August, not the 17th. I think it's the 24th.
Yeah, it's a little bit after
that. Yeah, it's a little bit after that. So that's what I was thinking.
We can pick them up tomorrow morning as dealers. So
that's awesome.
I think I will. I think I'll pick a couple P1s. I'm not going to do that many putters
because
putters just sit.
Yep.
But those Tilts, definitely going to get them. The Full Tilts.
The Vapor plastic. That's going to be cool.
Yep. So, and dun, dun, dun. Guess what we got? Castoplast. So we officially have Castoplast coming in. We will have all molds and the gold, which Gould, G-U-L-D. It's a new overstable driver.
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
So we will have that as well.
There's been some weird things happening with that disc as far as like release dates. Like it keeps bouncing.
It does.
Back and forth from what I've heard. So I don't know what the story, other story is with that.
Even when ordering, so we're filling out the order form, getting everything ordered, the Gould was not gold, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
It was not available at that time. They said, hey, sorry, we don't have them in yet. Mm-hmm. And then like the day before order forms were due, they, hey, guess what? We have them.
Oh,
max order that you can do is 22.
Oh.
I was like, give us 22.
Yeah.
You know? So,
blame that on latitude.
Yeah, exactly. Switch your molds and here we go. So, but no, I'm excited. No. So we got Bergs of all flavors. We got, you know, the Cax Z's. We got Falks, all of them.
Nice. That's awesome.
So we have everything coming in. We have 5 to 10 of each mold coming in. So, and each plastic.
Cool.
So it's about 170 discs.
Wow.
So, is it that many? I don't remember how many it is.
Yeah.
But it's 100-ish.
Okay.
Discs.
That's awesome. So
we'll have quite a few Cast Blasts coming in. So that's pretty exciting. And then outside of that, OnlyFans?
Only what?
Oh, jeez. We'll get him to say it one day, guys. All right. Keep us up par.
Peace.